Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We will be frequently posting sermons from our Sunday services to offer insights and interpretations of Scripture and to help you connect biblical teachings to your daily life and circumstances. You may also watch our entire worship service online on Facebook or YouTube. This podcast was recorded on Ash Wednesday, March 5, 2025. Our guest preacher is Pastor Craig Foreman.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust can consume and thieves can break in and steal them. No, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves cannot break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. I wish it were harder for me to stand up here and talk about hypocrisy. Sadly, it is not. I suppose it should come as no surprise, given the times in which we live, a time when hypocrisy seems to be the rule and the norm. Even so, it is disappointing. Hypocrites, that's the Greek word we hear today that Jesus uses in Matthew 6. Hypocrites, it literally means to hide behind. It's most often translated into English as the word actor. Because in ancient times, actors spoke their lines from behind masks, which you can see on the slide. Well, I guess you can't. I didn't put them up there, my bad. But you know what I'm talking about, the happy and the sad faces that are up there. Hypocrisy means to wear a mask, to hide behind a facade, to say one thing while you mean another. Hypocrites say they're glad to see you, when the truth is they'd rather have root canal surgery than spend time with you. Hypocrites give money to charities they don't support, and they make speeches for causes they don't believe in. Hypocrites support politicians they don't even like because they think they might gain some advantage or power or wealth. And religious hypocrites, they are the worst. It's not just that they're holier than thou. They're holier than themselves. They sit piously in their pews or they preach from their pulpits. They pray prayers they don't mean and read Bible passages they don't believe and are worse than those who skip church altogether because they drank too much, because at least those people are honest about who they are and how they feel and why they are not here. But tonight, I have some good news to all of us who have a burr up our saddle about the hypocrites of this world. What a friend we have in Jesus. Because whenever Jesus met a card-carrying hypocrite, he shot them off of their horse with a silver Bible bullet. He mocked them as the clowns of their own circus, described them as people wanting the pianist to play "Hey, Look Me Over" whenever they led Bible studies in their living rooms or showed up to church to get a few votes from the suckers who thought they actually cared about them. They paraded their deeds with a flourish before the admiring eyes of the crowd while hiding their own weaknesses and their own brokenness by judging others for doing the things that they themselves did all the time. "I tell you," Jesus said,
They have already received their reward. I don't know what that means, but it don't sound good. Jesus did not seem to like hypocrites. Neither do I. I like to be on the same page as Jesus every now and then, and tonight I am. Hooray for me. Oops, there's a problem in that, isn't there? Before we assume that we know what Jesus is talking about, perhaps we should listen a little more closely to what he is actually saying. Perhaps we should listen more intently to what he means. Because you see, hypocrites might miss the religious boat, but they don't miss it by very much. According to Jesus, they actually give money to the poor. You tell me that's common in the world in which we live. They actually pray and fast. How many of us actually do that on a regular basis? And I'm not talking about the diets that we're all on. Jesus is not referring to people who thumb their noses at the synagogue or the church. He's not talking about those who show up for worship and just sit on their pews. He's talking about the kind of people that most of us would want as members of our churches. People who put their faith into action. People of charity and prayer. People who fill out their giving cards every year and volunteer to teach in the Sunday school and serve on church council and spearhead the food drives and show up for the Lenten soup suppers. To be a hypocrite in Jesus' book, you have to look like the kind of person that every church would like to have. We call them active members. Hypocrites want a brass plaque on the wall to mark their contributions, but hey, at least they contribute. Hypocrites might use pious language when they pray for the sick and the lonely, but hey, at least they're praying for the sick and the lonely. Hypocrites may want you to know that they volunteered to build a house for Habitat for Humanity, but at least they build a house for a homeless family to live in. So three cheers for the hypocrites. Well, two and a half anyway. It seems that Jesus does not attack hypocrites tonight because they are ruthlessly opposed to the gospel. He attacks them because they miss the gospel by this much. Jesus says harsh things about hypocrites, not because they're so far from the kingdom of God, but because they are so close. Those praying, fasting, giving hypocrites of Jesus' day, they weren't going in the wrong direction. They just weren't going far enough in the right one. They settled for minimum wage when right around the corner was the treasure that their hearts had always been seeking. The hypocrites that Jesus grieves over have lost sight of a God who sees behind the mask, who sees in secret, who cherishes them in his divine heart, who rewards them beyond what they deserve, not because of what they do, but because of who they are. His beloved children. It's why they parade around in front of the only people they can think of they can impress, other hypocrites. Jesus' reprimand was meant to redeem them, not to punish them. So there's this old Jewish fable about three men who decide to travel to a distant city to hear a famous rabbi preach. And they set out intending to walk the entire way, but several days into the journey, a lot further than they thought, they're out of money, they're in real trouble, so they come up with this idea. When they arrive at the next village, one of them would pretend to be a rabbi. Hopefully the people there would be honored to have a visiting rabbi come and would offer them hospitality. So that's what they decide to do. The problem is that none of them really attended synagogue all that much, so they didn't know what a rabbi did or sounded like or looked like. They figured out the best that they could. They drew straws. The loser would don the disguise of the rabbi. That's what they did. They got to the next village. They were greeted with joy. They were escorted to the local inn, and there they were treated to a sumptuous meal. And when it was over, the innkeeper humbly approached the man posing as a rabbi, and in sorrow, he said to him, "Rabbi, will you come and pray for my dying son? The doctors have given up hope. But I believe the Holy One of Israel will hear the prayers of a righteous man." So the fake rabbi follows the innkeeper to his son's sickbed. He bows his head. He mumbles a prayer in mostly silence. And the next day, the innkeeper sends him off in his own carriage to the city where they were going. And when they get there, They listen to the teachings of that famous rabbi, and they're inspired by his words, and they're shamed by what he teaches them. So they decide to go back and to make amends. But when they get close to the village to return the carriage, they just can't bring themselves to do it. So they resume the disguise of a rabbi with two traveling companions. And here it gets weird because the innkeeper comes running out. He's filled with joy. You know, at first they thought, oh my gosh, we're in big trouble here, but that's not what happens. He embraces the man. He says, Rabbi, thank you. Dear friend, less than an hour after you left, my son got up out of his sick bed. The doctors were amazed. We're so grateful for your prayers. So they leaving, and the companions, they're going, what? Are you a real rabbi? We just didn't know about it? You just didn't tell us? What gives here? In tears, the man admits he had stood by the boy's bed, feeling like the world's biggest hypocrite. So when he prayed his prayer, these are the words that he said. God of the universe, this father and his son should not be punished because they think I'm real. I know I'm a fake. But if the child dies, his father will think your rabbis are useless. So not for my sake, dear God, but for the sake of a desperate father and a dying boy, could it hurt that you should heal him? We are all hypocrites, you know. Not one of us is worthy to merit God's forgiveness. And more often than not, the religion we practice is just a mask that we hide behind. But the God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, he sees behind the mask. He sees things. He sees us differently. When Jesus reprimanded those hypocrites, it was because it sometimes takes a very sharp stick to poke a hole big enough to let the light in with a truth that every human heart yearns to hear. That when the applause of the admiring die out, when the theater darkens and empties, when the actor takes off their mask, the only thing that matters is that the God who knows who we are knows we are hypocrites and loves us in spite of it. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So tonight, three cheers for the hypocrites. Well, two and a half anyway. You leave here tonight, old and young, male and female, gay and straight, saint and sinner, wearing the mask of your shame and the mark of God's redeeming love. Because even hypocrites know that the God who sees in secret sees behind every mask the child that yearns to be loved, yearns to be healed, yearns to belong, and beckons us to come to him just as we are. To God be the glory. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.